Hello and welcome to this Security School podcast, Controlling Trusted Users. My name is Michael Cobb and I'm going to be looking at some of the best ways of ensuring trusted users can't step over the line or inadvertently allow someone else to use their privileges. Every organisation, no matter what size, will have some employees who have super user powers. These are the people whose user account has the ability to make critical and system-wide changes. The actual name of the account isn't important. It could be root, administrator, admin, or supervisor, for example. It's the access to system resources and privileges that these accounts have that make them so powerful. Clearly, you need to have people who can make important changes to your network and cloud infrastructure, but you have to be able to prevent them from abusing their superpowers. There'll also be plenty of other users within an organization who have extended privileges above and beyond those of normal users. Staff in human resources will have access to everyone's personnel files. Some employees working in accounts will have access to the company's online bank accounts, etc. These are trusted users, but it's important that there are checks and balances in place to prevent them intentionally or mistakenly abusing this trust and misusing their special privileges. So today I'm going to go through some of the ways that you can prevent these privileged accounts from being abused by employees, hackers, and third parties like contractors and suppliers. A context-aware approach to granting or denying permissions for sensitive tasks provides additional security checks to prevent hackers who are using stolen credentials from gaining remote access to network resources as a trusted user, as the decision to grant or deny privileges is not based solely on a username and password, but multiple factors including the location of the user, status of the device, network address, the time of day, and the role of the user. It entails setting specific hours when privileged accounts can be used. Likewise, you need to set specific locations using geofencing and where privileged accounts can be used, and set specific IP addresses or device IDs in which privileged tasks must be actioned. Instead of just a flat grant or deny decision, users could also be required to complete additional authentication steps, such as providing a security token or a one-time password if their access request is unusual or made from a non-corporate location, for example. I would actually recommend that all privileged users have to authenticate themselves using some form of two-factor authentication. Your password policy for privileged accounts should certainly force passwords to be changed every 30 days and comply with strong password guidelines. That way, if a password or access key is compromised without the user's knowledge, it limits how long the credentials can be used to access network resources. Another option is to make use of one-time passwords, which are only issued and valid for one login session. For very sensitive tasks, such as changes to mission-critical systems, there are various techniques for ensuring those with the privilege to undertake them can only do so when appropriate. Under the two-man rule, trusted access and actions require the presence of two authorised people at all times. A similar concept is key sharing or splitting, where the master encryption key used to encrypt sensitive data is split into multiple shares and distributed to trusted users. To reconstruct the master key, at least two or more shares must be combined to reconstruct it. This is a similar concept to segregation of duties, where the steps in key processes are divided amongst two or more people so that no one individual can act alone to subvert a process for their own gain or purposes. To make it easier to monitor trusted users, they should have separate accounts for general and administrative use. When the CSO is writing up his quarterly report, for example, he doesn't need to be logged in as a super user with the ability to make serious changes to various network settings. With highly privileged groups, I would eliminate permanent membership and only grant temporary membership when needed. It's a similar strategy to providing a one-time password valid for one login session. The actions of trusted users should be carefully monitored in order to spot malicious or unusual activity. Do make sure, however, that trusted users understand activity monitoring is not a sign of mistrust. Explain that oversight and verification technologies provide independent assurance and factual records of a privileged user's activities. and in fact will provide evidence to minimise any chance of suspicion or being wrongly accused. It's very much the concept of trust but verify. And of course, if privileged users are aware of the existence of activity monitoring capabilities, they are less likely to attempt to misuse their privileged access rights out of fear of detection. Finally, make sure new employees are made aware of corporate security policies before they are enrolled on the organization's identity and access management system. Employee induction training should cover the responsibilities that come with privileged access before privileged access is actually granted. Ongoing security awareness training should be given to those with privileged access, as they are a prime target for phishing and whaling campaigns, and users need to know how to recognize such attacks. Everyone's vulnerable to social engineering manipulation, so training needs to explain how social engineers operate and the tactics users may encounter when hackers try to trick them into giving up the credentials to their privileged accounts. Well, that brings me to the end of this podcast, and I hope it's provided you with some ideas of how to prevent privileged user accounts in your organization from being misused and putting your data at risk.